But this is the podcast.
If you want to wear the headphones, if you can hear
me,
that's
fine. No, I never
wear
them. I never wear
them. I'm just here to talk.
I never wear them.
I'm here to have a good time.
Thanks. You know, I do appreciate you coming, and I don't want
to
be
I'm not a big podcast fan, but I mean, I just like to, you know, I had nothing going on Monday through Wednesday, so I was just like, you know, all right. I mean, I was pretty much just writing. But
I never, ever take a phone call during podcast, but it's my agent. Do you mind?
No.
Okay.
Are we already podcasting?
I record when you get here, so we just have riffing. And then we'll
interesting. Interesting.
Hello?
He's outside taking a phone call right now during this podcast. He is so effing rude. He is so rude. Chris, I want you to know you're rude right now. When you listen to this back, that's going to be fun for you. Any good news? Any good news from the old agent?
Yes, I have an audition tomorrow.
Oh, lovely.
Well, how do you feel about auditioning? I love auditioning. I think it's fun.
Depends.
It really does depend. I don't like self tapes.
I like going.
I hated self tapes in the beginning. I don't mind them now.
I've been at this for 2.5 years now, and I still to this day would much rather go in than stay at home and do a self tape. Yeah, I get. The benefits are, you know, you go, you stay at home, you can do as many takes as you want, you can perfect it as much as you want. There's just something about being put under the pressure of going in and having to talk to somebody, you know, in person. You can't fuck up. You have to do it there. I just show up when I.
Yeah,
when that
I think
happens.
We did talk so about this. You rather go in person because you can show a different side of your personality. They just don't see.
If you go to a self tape, you can't show them anything about you. I mean, I think
50% of the audition is the charisma.
The most important thing I think is that they know that they can work with you and they'll like to work with you. You know, and if you're doing a self tape, they just, you know, talent aside, there's plenty of talented people out here. We're in LA, so you're gonna see a lot of talented people. So I think my major strength is going out there and showing my charisma, my character, for sure. Like, you know, who I am outside of the role.
Exactly.
And they'll hopefully want to work with me, you know?
Welcome, folks, to a brand new episode of Conversations from a Room. I am your host, Christian Lugo, and it has been a while since I've done an episode, but I'm so happy to be back here in Los Angeles, California. It is now the year 2020. Yes, we are in the future, everyone. This is crazy. It's a thing that doesn't seem real, but it's real. So here we are, and I have a very wonderful special guest today, John Young.
Hey, I'm John Young.
Hey.
I'll never be old, whatever.
is that really your last name, or is that a stage
name? My last name is Young, yeah.
I always bring people here that I meet down the road, you know, who I admire and who I feel have really good charisma and show a lot of like spirit, I guess I would say. And you call me as a guy who was very humble, but yet very interested in like this hungry world and this like really weird world of acting and Hollywood and all that. But you have this small town feel, like you have like this kid who grew up with like a good family, and you probably had like, you know, good people, you know, surrounded by you, and to put yourself in this world, it's not easy. You know what I mean? Like, it really does take a toll on you. How long have you been out here?
Sure, yeah. No, I've been here 2.5 years. I would agree, you know, that I grew up in a small town, central New Jersey, Old Bridge, New Jersey. If you know,
didn't you work as a contract or a construction?
Yeah. So I went to Rutgers University, which is right in center of
New Jersey. I always feel like Rutgers is the school they use in like every script. Like, where'd you go to school, kid?
I went to Rutgers. I've actually seen it in a lot of movies.
Why? I guess it sounds good. Or
what was the movie that I just saw it in?
Is it? It's in New York, right?
No, it's in New Jersey. It's in
Jersey. But I guess because it's like New Jersey's so popular. It's like, yeah, I went to Rutgers, you know?
Well, a lot of actors and musicians and people like that out here are actually from New Jersey. I like to say that the most talented people are from New Jersey, actually. A lot of athletes in pro sports are
Tony
from
Soprano.
New Jersey. Bruce Springsteen.
That's right.
John Bon Jovi.
Wow.
Kyrie Irving. I mean,
so then why does New Jersey have such a bad rap sometimes?
Because people
are
jealous.
Well, that's the thing. I'm from Florida, so don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to say, like, why do you got to bring the stank? I come from a town where people ridicule every single day. People hate Florida, and I grew up there, and I love it.
Well, you guys got a lot of crazy news stories,
Florida man.
You do it to yourself, Florida man.
I don't know what it is, man. I don't know, man.
Seen some wild stuff.
What's the craziest Florida headline that you can quote right now?
I don't know. Probably something about an alligator, to be honest with you.
Yeah, that's the stereotypical one.
There's at least 10 of them that
Florida
come out
man
like that.
Marries alligator.
Something crazy. Yeah. Something crazy. I mean, I'm like so numb to it by now. I've seen so many of them. One of the things that bothers me about LA is it's very politically active, and I'm not really like about politics.
But
or
was
like
you,
that,
were you
so.
Always like that? Or are you just having political fatigue?
I think that I always started off that way, but it's only grown more and more that I care less as I've grown up and care more about personal success and doing my best and trying to be the best I can be. You know.
Well, speaking of being the best, what was your initiative or your plan on becoming an actor, like moving out to a Hollywood, like doing this crazy career and deciding that this is what you wanted to do?
I started out, my first initial dream was to be a Major League Baseball player.
Were you in the professional level at one point?
No, I made it to college and then I pretty much got hurt my senior year. It would have been very tough
at that point, so I
ended up moving on. I tore my UCL.
Jesus.
I had shoulder problems since I was like a sophomore in college, but I just kind of pitched through it because it was nothing that they could do surgically or anything about it. It was just kind of like something similar to tendonitis. But then my elbow, I tore my UCL. So if you've ever heard of Tommy John surgery.
Mm-hmm. No, I haven't.
A lot of pitchers get that. It's like there's a tendon right in your elbow here that snaps, it's the only time it really happens.
Oh, it's like the $1 Million Arm. What's that movie?
Yeah.
When he gets a spring in his arm?
Yeah, it's pretty much just exactly like that. It's, there's a ligament that goes from your pinky and your ring finger all the way up all the way up to your shoulder, like right at the end of your
bicep. And that got damaged?
I mean, the only time that people usually hurt it is when they're throwing. Mm-hmm. And so, I was just, my time was, I gave it my all, my time was spent, and one day it just snapped. A lot of people say that it hurts a lot when it happens. Mine kind of felt like an air bubble popping. I felt like it was just kind of just worn down over the years. It didn't really hurt that much.
Wow.
I can't throw anymore. I never got a repair and I never did anything
about
it.
So, but what if you would have gone to like physical therapy or something? You think you could have gotten back? Or did you just thought, okay, you know what? I think I want to move on to something else.
Well, supposedly it's repaired on its own by now because they say it's about 2 or 3 years of that it can actually repair on its own. But without surgery, I'll never be able to throw as hard as I used to be able to throw. So it doesn't even make a difference at this point.
So do you think you would have continued to play baseball and try to go into like the professional baseball league?
What's the word? I was totally
MLB.
Into it.
No, that's
minor, well. I was sorry. You start off in the minor leagues. You got rookie ball, then A, which consists of low A, and high A, and then you got double A, and then you got triple A. These are all different teams that you got to work your way up the ranks before you make it to the major leagues. Personally, you'll never hear me say, that I didn't have the confidence that I would have been able to make it, but, that's all in the past. Once I got hurt, I had a big decision to make. I didn't have health insurance at the time. That's probably the main reason I didn't get the surgery and was like, all right, it's time to move on. Because I knew I could do pretty much anything. I could still work out and lift and do anything pretty much. The only thing I really couldn't do was throw a baseball.
And that's the one thing you needed to do, I guess.
Yeah. Well, it was, it was definitely not easy to say goodbye to the game. It was not easy. I was very invested. I loved it.
No, I'm sure,
I was a closer, so every time that
you
were
the headliner.
Well, every time we were winning at the end of the game, if it was a close game or, even not even at the end of the game, but mainly at the end of the game, but anytime it was a close game and we like couldn't let up a run, the team goes, John, you're up, baby.
Damn,
you gotta win
dude.
This game for us. Yeah,
that's incredible.
I loved it, man. I loved it. Like I said, why I like the in-person auditions is because you put the pressure on me. That's when I thrive usually. Because
even baseball, even sports, are some sort of, like, it's theater, you know, you're putting on a show. And, you know, not that I'm saying you have to be someone you're not, but that's the same feeling you get when you're on, when you're performing on a stage. You know what I mean? It's like this euphoria.
Well, just so you know, it's not, you know, it's not like I'd never been on a stage before,
mm-hmm.
you know, like baseball was the only thing. No, mm-hmm. no chance. That was just my, the thing that I was the best at, mm-hmm. at the time, because I put the most time into it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I always was doing well. I was usually one of the better players on my team in high school. I was probably the best player on my team. If they ever hear this, it was a team effort, obviously.
Okay. Well, that's good.
You know, we won a championship together, all that.
That's cool, man. I was going to transition into, how did you get into the arts?
How did I get into the arts? Well, yeah. My mom made me do dance school. I did dance
Why
school.
Why is that?
My parents used to like to let me, make me do pretty much every kind of thing.
It's
to,
so funny, to, like, to, you know, your parents would think that going to dance school is just an extra, like, curricular activity for you to, like, learn.
Well, my mom had things that she wanted me to do, and my dad had things that he wanted me to do, so I did both. I mean,
are we talking about hip-hop or something? Or
how, I did hip-hop, I did ballet. I did every kind of dance you could possibly imagine.
Did you enjoy doing that?
For a while. And then they tried to get me to join their, like, traveling troupe
mm-hmm.
thing. The Cougars, I remember.
That's funny.
And I was like, no, because I liked sports better. I mean, I not to say.
Did you know Ryan Gosling was a professional dance, like a kids
yeah,
dancer?
Yeah, yeah, he was in that. He was in the Disney,
the Mickey Mouse troupe,
Mickey
or whatever.
Mouse
yeah,
Club.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Mickey Mouse Club. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, I think that the reason why I'm not saying I'm great at anything. I mean, I think I'm above average at a lot of things because I just basically growing up, my parents put me into everything.
How do you feel about your acting then? Like, how do you feel about your craft? You know, saying how you're very confident when it comes to things that you do. How does that leak into your artistic stuff?
Well, first of all, even if I'm bad at something, I'll be confident about it because that's, you gotta be. You can't be insecure or else you're never gonna get anywhere. Secondly, how do I feel about it? I think that I came here with better than most that first come out here, and I've only gotten better. And, you know, yeah, I mean, I deal with, just like anybody else, those insecurities, you know, that sometimes you don't feel good enough because, you know, I went a year. There was not the first year. I mean, in between, I got something early, and then in between, I went like a year without booking anything. So obviously you're going to be like, wow, I'm not good enough. What the hell am I doing here?
Mm-hmm.
But you can't live that way. You gotta be like, you gotta strap on your boots and you gotta be like, all right, I can do this. And then, you know, booking. And you get a bunch more stuff. And then I decided to come up with the crazy idea to start making my own stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, even if you're not booking through your agency, you're still creating, you're still being active in the community. So, I mean, it's just doing, you know, a lot of people sit around and do nothing. And that's not doing anything. You know, a lot of people come out here thinking they have it that don't.
Mm-hmm.
So, that, you know, does that worry me sometimes that I'm one of those people?
Mm-hmm.
No, it doesn't.
Well, I mean, it's good. Like I said, like, it's good to know that you have it. And it's good to use that. And it's all, but also, it's also very good to know when, like, okay, it's time to, like, throw in the towel. Not give up, but it's like, all right, look. Not that I don't have it, but it's just like, I need to start doing something that I can, like, you know, grow my life from. You know, I have to start being a responsible adult.
To a certain level, I agree with you.
Yeah.
To a certain level, I agree with you. Obviously, you know, in my past, obviously, you know, I decided to give up baseball.
Mm-hmm.
However, you know, now I'm a 26-year-old guy, and I've kind of made my decision to be here. I feel like it's either make it or die. You know,
that's, yeah, no,
that's,
for
that's
sure.
That's another way I look
I think,
at it.
I
know?
Think that whole sink or swim idea, and I don't think anyone should ever put, like, anxiety to them. I think a lot of times we do work with the anxiety within us, and that's how we get things done. But I think it's more so, like, you're scared of it, of not knowing how far you can go. You know what I mean? And, like, that is a fear that I have a lot of times. It's like, I don't want to go so far into it that I, like, lose myself. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to lose the person I've always been. I don't want to be this miserable.
Don't. You should not change. Hollywood should change for you. You shouldn't change for Hollywood.
I want to bring this up real quick. I thought this was just super interesting. You made a pledge years ago to donate to a charity every single time you get an acting mm-hmm. job. How did that start?
How did that start? First of all, it makes me feel good inside, to be honest with you. There's, you know, it's not, can't say I'm the most selfless person, so I got to make that clear. I do it because, you know, part of the reason, not the main reason, but the part of the reason is because I feel at ease, you know, like, you know, like
you give back,
I contribute
back to
the world, you know, and not just to myself. So that's a good feeling for me. That's not. And then the other reason is because, well, there's multiple reasons. I mean, there's a lot of reasons. This was something I thought about for a while before I actually decided to do it. The other reason, one of the other reasons would be because, you know, there's people out there who need the money way more than I do. You know, I'm not a millionaire, but I, you know, I know that there's people who are in worse positions than I'm in. So
yeah, no, it's incredible,
they could use
man.
It better than I could.
And so every job you get, you donate to a new
every
charity.
Time.
That's
every
great,
time.
Man.
Yeah, I did it. The main starter of it was in honor of my mother, so who was the most selfless person I've ever met in my life. So
that's good, man.
The reason why I came out here to Los Angeles and bet my whole life on this whole thing was because when I was, well, when I was 16, I lost my father to heart disease.
Oh,
and then
I'm sorry.
When I was 21, I lost my mom to cancer. So.
Oh, man, I'm so sorry, man.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I still have a brother, but pretty much my whole, I did have a really good family growing up. And, like, you were right about that at the beginning of this. But unfortunately, we were broken up. And I decided that once I graduated from college, I would work in Manhattan for a few years. So I worked there for almost 3 years, 2.5 years, 3 years. And save up some money and then come out here and do this whole thing because fuck it, we're all gonna die when we're young anyways.
Well, I will say that having someone lose family at such a young age, like, you have become such a impressive human being.
Yeah, I don't feel that way all the time though.
Well, I mean, I'll let you know because it really does show that, like, you know, a lot of people, including me, I don't think I would have been able to have the strength to do the things that you do and
well,
succeed in the way.
I don't feel like I've achieved much.
Well,
I haven't gotten to that.
Hey, listen, you're not face down in a puddle somewhere. You know what I mean? Like, a lot of people would just give up. Like, you haven't done that. You know what I mean? And it shows, you know, give yourself a lot of credit because, you know, you're doing a lot of good work, man. And for someone who, you know, has to go through something like that, it's hard. It's very hard.
Unfortunately, I do appreciate the words you're saying, but I can't feel that way until I reach my goal.
All right, well, that's okay.
That
well,
can't
put it in an envelope, and in 10 years when you feel that way, open it again.
We'll bury
and then
it.
You can
we'll
think.
Put it in a time capsule.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that, man. Yeah. And you know, I can't express how that must feel, and you know, I can't imagine, but you know.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie to you. It hasn't been easy. Mm-hmm. It definitely hasn't been easy. But the fortunate thing is that I have a great brother and the best friends you could possibly imagine.
I'm definitely there for you, dude. So
well,
I mean, I root for you. I hope all the best for you. So
you know, it's why I believe so much in humanity because you know the lengths that people will go to a guy like you who I've only known for what, not that long,
for a total of like maybe 4 days.
Yeah, I mean, like for someone I haven't known that long, it you know, gives me a lot of faith in humanity, and
that's
you know,
good, man. That's
hence
good.
The reason why I think it's good to give back, and then so
that's
you know
good.
All
well,
the, all these things. All these
I'm
factors.
Glad that you're using everything that you have to your potential for good.
Well, it's and either like I said, it's either succeed or fail or die, you know, whatever, and. Unfortunately, I do have one bleak outlook that I'm not going to last extremely long. You know, I'm probably not going to make it past my 60s. You know, I don't know it, obviously. I mean, I still live a pretty healthy life. I eat really healthy. I go to the gym daily. So, you know, it's like I still, you know, I do my best. But it's a good outlook to have because only reason I say I know That's most people won't agree. But the only reason I say that is because it makes me dream bigger. It makes me work faster, work harder, so that I can at least, if I'm going to go out young, I'm going to go out with a freaking bang.
I think about this a lot because I think about death a lot. And
oh, God.
Don't get me started. Well, not in like a really dark, like, scary, like, you know, we're all going to, like, yeah, I've come to accept that we all die and that we all need to come to terms with, you know, the life that we live. And I think about this a lot when I fly because I don't like flying. I'm scared of flying. And I remember it was as a kid, but recently I become scared of flying. I don't know what it is. I just, as I become older, it worries me. sometimes when I fly, I have this idea of, like, if the plane went down right now, how would I feel? Would I be scared? Truly, I wouldn't know until the moment happens. But I always say to myself, I'm not really scared of dying. I'm only scared of not living. And I think that's what you achieve to do. I think that's what you're trying to live every day. And I feel the same way. Like, I'm not really scared of dying. It's okay. It's a thing. And it's okay. You know, it's a normal thing. We can all agree. But you have to make sure that while you're here, you need to make it worth it. And that's what I'm trying to do.
Let's put it this way to you. When after that, all that whole thing happened, I graduated from Rutgers and I worked in Manhattan for 2.5 years. I had a really good job. I made good money. I was set up. It was golden. But I just wanted more. I needed more because I didn't, you know, as much as I could have been content with that, I decided, you know what? I want more. I want to really, like, the only way to really live is to take big risks, in my opinion. So I take those big risks, and here I am. There's times where I'm like,
how old are you now?
26.
So another 40 or what? 36 years, according to you, or whatever.
Apparently. So listen, I don't write the rule book. God does. All right. I don't. You know.
Well, I hope that you're here much longer than that, because I would like to see. I would, in fact, put this in the time capsule as well with my advice, is that I hope that when we're in our 80s, we could still be friends. Why not?
I'm with it.
Cool, man.
Can I put you in the time capsule?
Me, like, physically me?
Yes.
Oh, I'd love that.
I'll just give you rations. I'll give you rations for the next 50 years.
And just beef jerky and, like, bread.
No, you could do what Buddha did. One grain of rice a day.
No, I like to eat.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, I'm not a Buddhist. I mean, I I'd like to practice it, but I'm not right now. All right, well, now we're going to take a quick commercial break. Hey, guys. So we have a new product here. I'm so excited to announce it. And I have the creator of the product, Mike Michaels. He's here. He came all the way from Portland. Thank you so much for being here, Michael.
Hello, my name is Michael Michaels. I'm from Portland, Oregon. How you doing, man? I want to tell you a little bit about my product that's called Java Good Morning.
Java Good Morning. Wow, that's incredible. Now, you grew up in Portland, or?
I grew up in Portland, man. Don't you ask questions.
Okay, all right. I just wanted to make sure, you know, the accent's a little misleading, but so you have this product, Java Good Morning. How did you come up with that name?
Well, do you never have enough time to wake up and have your coffee? Imagine your alarm couldn't wake you up.
Oh, God. You know how many times I'm late to work because my alarm doesn't wake me up? Because it's just a sound. I mean, how many sounds do you hear in the morning? You think your alarm's going to make a difference?
Way too many sounds, my man. Way too many sounds.
So is that how you came up with this product, Java Good Morning?
Well, I wasn't waking up. Apparently, all the sleeping pills and the marijuana was, like, making me sleep a little bit longer.
So you had to have a caffeine fix to sort of get you up in the morning.
Absolutely, huh? And I didn't have enough time to get up and go get my coffee.
So how does this work? How does Java Good Morning play into the morning routine?
When you go to sleep, you have to put a tube into your mouth, and instead of having an alarm clock going off, all of a sudden your coffee squirts out from a coffee maker that's taped onto your ceiling, and it shoots right down your throat. Wake up with coffee.
So this sounds a lot like a prototype. Have you gotten it out to the field yet?
I use it every day, man.
So basically, you have to fall asleep with the tube in your mouth and
make sure you breathe out to your nose.
And assuming you don't do a lot of movement throughout the night, and then by the time it's time to wake up, you have boiling hot coffee shoved down your throat. And instantly, not only are you awake, but you get a cup of Joe as soon as you wake up.
Don't worry about the moving part. This product also comes with free straps to strap you into your bed.
Oh, really? So you strap yourself in all night?
That's only if you buy now. You get it for $9.99 with free straps.
Now, I see you have a couples discount for two people that want to have it together. Now, do they also need two cups of coffee, or is it the same cup?
It's 2 cups of coffee, but there's the tube goes into your mouth and then it separates. So some goes into your gullet and the other goes into your partner's.
Oh, I see. So it's actually just one tube, but it sprays so much it wakes up the person next to you.
Yeah, man. Ooh, booyakasha.
Okay, man. So let me ask you something. Is it a specific flavor? Do you guys have different flavors? Or is it just one that you guys use?
Oh, man. We got your black. We've got your black with cream. We've got your black with sugar. We've got your black with cream and sugar.
So basically, it's not the type of coffee. It's just how you like your coffee.
Oh, booyakasha. You know what I'm saying, man.
Oh, great. Well, Mike Michaels, it's such a pleasure having you. Where can we find you?
Not in Jamaica.
Okay.
Don't find me. Don't ask questions.
All right. Well, thank you so much for coming by. Folks, try Java Good Morning. It will get you up. And it'll get you perked.
Buy it and I won't send people after you.
Thank you so much. All right, so I like to talk about movies. Obviously, you probably love movies. I love movies. And it's the whole reason why I started doing this. Because, you know, I grew up watching amazing film and even really bad film. And that was like, I didn't care what it was. I loved watching it. So I like to ask the guests, like, what's a movie that you loved watching? Either growing up or now, over and over again, like one of your favorite films, obviously. What's one of your guilty pleasure movies?
Hmm. That's a tough question.
Exactly. And what's maybe one of the worst films you've ever seen, but it's just so fun to watch?
Oh, I mean, that one's an easy one, but I feel like a lot of people would cop out and say this answer. I don't know if I'm the only one, but The Room. Have you ever seen The Room?
Of course.
Yeah,
of
I course. Mean, like, obviously, that the last one, the worst movie ever. Mm-hmm. But not just, I would never just watch The Room, you know, mm-hmm. at
it's
home.
One of those, it's a social event.
You ever go to the first Saturday night? Mm-hmm. I mean, I used to do it in New York, and I've been to the one here in LA mm-hmm. once. I want to go again.
Was he there?
No, he was at the one in New York, though.
I went to the one here. There was one in Westwood, and I went with Rachel, and because we were there, and then they had a you know, like a poster for it, like, hey, we're showing The Room Friday night, and I was like, great, this will be fun. So we went. Tommy Wiseau was there, and
Tommy Wiseau.
I'm sorry.
Wow. My brother's a huge fan.
Is your brother older or younger than you?
He's 33. Shit. Okay. He just turned 33.
Wow.
So he's a little older, but he's mm-hmm. a massive fan. So
of The Room?
He loves it.
Oh my god.
Like, I love it too, but this guy, he has the books,
What? Like the script? Or is there a book about The Room?
You ever see that movie with
Disaster
James Franco?
Yeah, it was great.
That's based after the book it.
It was the book about the kid,
Greg Sestero.
Yeah.
He wrote the other book about it.
Okay.
He wrote the book about it, and my brother has has pictures with Tommy Wiseau.
I'm sure he appreciates everything. It because it's like a fun thing and all that, but why is he so into it?
My brother's just into all this, you know what, he's actually, every time that he brings me to all these things that he likes, they're always a lot of fun. So he just knows how to pick these wild, obscure things that happen to be a lot of fun.
I'm the oldest in my family. I wish I had like an older brother who was like, let's just do this for fun. You know what I mean?
Well, like I didn't even know what The Room was until my brother was like, hey, like, you want to come see this movie? It's the worst movie ever made. And then they played at a theater and people throw spoons at the screen.
I know.
And I'm like,
I didn't know that either.
Like, all right. They're like, why not?
It was the first time we saw it was in a theater. Basically, because that was the first time I had seen it too. I kind of wish I had seen it with just like a few friends, like in a living room or something like that, because it probably would have been a different experience. Because since I was in the room with all these people, they had already seen it, so they were like quoting the entire film. They kept throwing spoons at the screen. I was like, that's great, but I'd rather kind of just watch it like with just a few friends who hadn't seen it for the first time.
Well, that's what I'm very excited because my roommates haven't. So eventually, I'm gonna take them out to see the one. And
I actually have it on DVD.
Oh, me too.
Because when we went to go see it, it was a huge line. And the guy, I guess like the guy who owned the theater was like, look, if you guys plan on buying merchandise, you get to skip the entire line. And I was like, yeah, why not? And I think the DVD was like $10. So I was like, yeah, sure. So we bought the DVD and we had Tommy Wiseau. How do you say it?
Oh my God. My brother's gonna be very mad that I did this podcast with
him. Yeah, but it's like the
Tommy least, Wiseau.
It's like the least thing to be concerned about.
I know.
Tommy Wiseau.
No, I don't personally care. Yeah, I just know my brother's gonna listen to this. Too. Andrew, I want to let you know I'm sorry.
I'm also sorry, Andrew. I just met this guy.
All right.
I'm sorry. Just kidding. Your brother's like, dude, fucking hit him, bro. Fuck, I have his signature on the DVD. That's great, man. All right, guilty pleasure. Let's hear it.
Guilty pleasure movie would be basically anything Adam Sandler.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Outside of, like, his huge ones that a lot of people like. Like, I like all his movies that people like consider
his most recent ones, maybe?
Well, not like Jack and Jill. Jack and Jill sucked, but I'm saying, like, people don't like Mr. Deeds. I like
really?
Mr. Deeds.
I thought Mr. Deeds was great.
Well, I mean, people, a lot of people.
Oh, you sick! You sick! I love that movie.
Obviously, I love Happy Gilmore and Billy Madison.
What's
two of
one
my
of
most
your favorites
quotable...
for Sandler?
Well, my favorite's probably The Waterboy. But
oh, I was about to say, that's probably mine too. Yeah, that's so funny. Why do you think that one's the most popular? I think it came out at the perfect time. It came out like he was fresh out of like SNL.
Well, which I don't know the order of which they came when they came out. Like, yeah, which true. Came out first, Waterboy? I think Billy Madison was the first one. I think, but I could be wrong. I would say though that I like pretty much most. Not everyone, because some of them fucking suck, but like Bedtime Stories.
Like, I like Bedtime Stories.
Basically, most of the movies, obviously, except for a
90s,
few of them that were really
Sandler.
Bad. Yeah, but okay. Yeah. Once he's gotten older, I feel like he's definitely changed as a, you know, as an artist.
Well,
like,
what did you
sure.
think of Uncut Gems?
Oh, you're gonna hate me. I haven't seen it yet.
That's okay. That's okay.
So I was
a lot of people haven't seen it yet.
Well, me and my roommates, we like to watch all the new movies. That's one of our favorite things to do. We like to watch it, analyze it, critique it, say what we have problems with it, what was done great, what was done bad.
Okay.
But I was in New Jersey for Christmas.
That's when I came
until
out.
January.
Well, now that you say that, what's a movie that you've seen? What's the last movie you've seen recently that really blew you away?
Oh God, that's not even. Oh my God, I saw it like 3 days ago, 1917. It was amazing.
Oh man, I keep hearing that it's so good.
So fucking
what is
good.
So good about it? Is it the cinematography? Because I know that's
like
the
cinematography
thing.
For sure. I mean, you know, the acting's the acting's solid.
Yeah,
you know, it's definitely it does the job, and that's all you need. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't need. I mean, like, you don't need like riveting performances for this type of movie, you'll see it when you see it, but the cinematography is what does it. I mean, it's obviously there's, you know, magic cuts where they, you know, but where they like make it seem like there's no cut, but they're definitely cutting. But what happens is the whole movie is like one shot.
Mm-hmm.
So they just, you know, this whole time you're following this guy, it's like one whole shot. It never stops.
So the whole film is
you're
one shot.
You're just following the sky. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yes. The way to the viewer, yes. It's
one shot.
Obviously, they're doing things where, like, somebody walks by and then
they probably cut,
you know,
and edit. And
yada,
all
yada, yada, yada. Yeah. Stuff like that. But
there's no, like,
it's so
scene
seamless.
To scene. It's just this. This guy is the protagonist from start to finish.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't want to give you any more information because there's a few surprises in there that you should.
I'm excited.
You should really see the movie.
It looks great.
I've said this that it is definitely one of my top favorite movies of all time.
Really?
It's that good.
Good.
It's
I'm glad. I like to hear that because that means that a movie's doing something fucking good.
Well,
man.
Like, you know, I think that the best movies are always the ones that take you from high to low, you know, like where sometimes, you know, you're just not on guard, like expecting anything.
Well, here's a good example.
All of a sudden something happens.
What did you think of Parasite? Did you see Parasite?
God, I hate it. See, all right, hold on. Let me explain. I was home from Christmas until
Parasite came out way before
the
New Year.
Yes, but I usually see all these movies with my roommates, and they saw Parasite and Uncut Gems while I was in New Jersey.
See, I go to movies by myself. I honestly think watching shows and film helps you become a good writer, you know?
I couldn't agree more. See, So me and my roommates, the reason that we're roommates is because we're partners.
Mm-hmm.
So we write stuff together. We write our own stuff, yada, yada, yada. We all produce it together. We all make it. We actually make our, you know, our show. So we actually wrote, produced, and two of us acted in a pilot that we made, I don't know, probably like 4 months ago now. And
we're
doing the same thing. Now we all have our own pilots. So we're all writing our own pilots.
Oh, that's fun.
We're also writing our own sketches and yada, yada, yada. But they theirs totally different than the way, theirs writing style is so different than my writing style. Their writing style is very structurally sound. It's like you go to class, you go to a class on writing, and they teach you, all right, you got to make the beginning, the ending, and then the body is like 3 points, like in any mm-hmm. whatever, 3 dashes for mm-hmm. the body. I'm much more of like a freestyle writing where it's like
I'd say the
start
same,
writing yeah. and then like just stop when you can't think anymore, you know.
Yeah, so I'm the same way.
It's very interesting to me. I mean, actually, it's a really good partnership because, you know, we both have different styles. So when they're running out of ideas, I can spark some inspiration of like things that just ideas that pop. Where when I write something and it's not completely structurally sound, they help me make it to a structure that's going to resonate with an audience, you know?
So what is your favorite, one of your favorite movies?
My favorite movies, as much as I like cinema and the art of movie making and all that stuff, I still, you know, growing up, the reason why I was happy to do this, still growing up, you know, I've always loved blockbusters. Mm-hmm. Oh, any kind of blockbuster. I mean, like, you know, Marvel. I love Marvel. I love like The Matrix. You mm-hmm. know, all that. All any kind of blockbuster. Mm-hmm. That's my ultimate goal. To be a blockbuster movie actor.
Okay, that's cool.
Because I see an art in that. That, you know,
I don't think anyone's gonna disagree with that.
You hear Scorsese say that. Oh, that's not art. But I think, you know, if you're making
yeah,
an audience feel different things,
like
if you're making an audience feel different things, then there's an art.
Like, I remember, yeah, Scorsese would have negative comics towards the Marvel films. Who's the Titanic guy? What's his name again?
James Cameron?
Yeah, like, he talks shit about, like, the Marvel movies. And I'm like, but why, though? Why? They're just, like, why would you talk? You're basically just talking down other people who want to do their art, you know? It's like, it's just another source of art. It's another form of artistic creativity. What's so bad about making a big blockbuster film?
Some people just see it as, you know, the only form of art is their way and not other people's way is the way I see it. I mean, like, you can't, if they're not following in line with how you see art, then is it art? But those people are very close-minded and they should probably, you know, if it resonates with an audience, it's just like any painting, you know, if you look at a painting and say, wow, that painting is crap, but a lot of other people would be like, wow, that painting is amazing. You know, that's clearly art to somebody.
And the funny thing is, like, Endgame is a good movie. It wouldn't have been a good movie if they weren't such good directors. Like, those guys are really good at directing film.
Right.
I mean, they made a fantastic film.
I mean, those films were good. No matter what your idea of, like, an art or cinematically is a touching picture.
So when you go back to think about favorite films, do you think like Indiana Jones,
Back to the Future is one of my favorites.
Yeah, same here. I talk about that movie all the time on the podcast because it's great. Amazing.
And it's way ahead of its time too, obviously. So
it was. And like Michael J. Fox, like his character was just so cool. Like, just
and they
like,
almost predicted the 2015 World Series. So that was
Miami versus the Cubs or whatever. Yeah. So yeah, those are your favorite types of movies like that.
Yeah, I love blockbusters.
What about like Lord of the Rings? What about like
Lord of the Rings?
What about
Lord
Harry Potter?
Love Harry Potter.
Okay,
love
okay,
all
so
that
all
kind
the,
of
okay,
stuff.
Great.
I
that's
like
good.
Sci-fi.
Me too.
I love sci-fi and fantasy.
What's in that category? What's one of those movies that you would go back and watch over and over again?
Well, I just rewatched the Lord of the Rings trilogy not too long ago.
Yeah, because it's on Netflix, right?
Yeah. So not too long ago I watched that. Harry Potter. I'm sure I will rewatch it one day because it's great, but I haven't even thought about it in a while. Marvel. I can watch Marvel.
Yeah, you can watch Marvel movies whenever because they're just entertaining. Like even like the Captain America movies, like those are really good. Like those are well done. It's like if you like comics, like the story's gonna be fun to watch. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
All right, let's move on because we are.
I got all night, baby.
Okay. Cool. Awesome.
I got all night.
Good.
Nah, I got a nice little young lady coming over later tonight.
Oh really? Do you really?
Come on, man.
All right, cool. Her name is
can't say it out loud.
Yeah. Really quick, is there any music that you listen to? Well, first of all, I love exploring new music almost every day. Like, is there any music that you listen to that you get in the mood with, or that helps you get in the mood, you know, whether it's for an audition or whatever. But yeah. What's
even,
like, what's up?
What's up? I came here blasting music.
Oh, what were you listening to?
Oh, for sure. I'll tell you all about it.
All right,
you
cool, man.
Hear all about it.
That's what we're here for.
So basically, I mean, I kind of switch from genre to genre. However, I'm feeling in that particular time right now. I'm into like kind of like a mix of alt rock and beats. I don't know what to call it. Kind of not EDM, but. I'm thinking like Foster the People.
Oh, okay. That makes like more sense. Foster the People. Is there a certain song that, like, one specific song, whether you heard as a kid or you always go back to, that you like love, like a go-to theme of yours?
No, not really. There's always a new song that I can't stop playing. Like, true, I want to play all the time. There's songs that pump me up, like let's fucking go.
Well, what's one of your favorite bands or groups?
Foster the People's my
Foster
favorite.
The People.
See, I have here's another little issue of mine. I have a really big problem with silence. I don't like silence at all. It always
same way. Like, I always need music in the room.
Oh man, I'm
in always, the car. Always, that's why I'm always watching stuff on my phone.
Not just music blasting. I need it to like.
Do you know why
consume
that is?
Consume me. Why? Why do you? Do you know?
I'm asking you, yeah. Do you know why that is for you, at least?
I have an idea of why that is. Do I know why it is? No, not exactly. I would just say that, you know, it stops me. I feel like I think a lot. I think too much.
Same, yeah.
And so it stops me from thinking so much.
It's a distraction. Here's
the funny part. When I write, I feel like it helps me think. It feels like, all right, like, just say you had ADHD. It's like when you don't want to think so much, you blast the music so that you're it's like you're Ritalin or whatever.
Sure,
Adderall.
Like Adderall, yeah.
Yeah, it's like that. So it's like, all right, I don't have to think. I just listen and groove to the music. That's it. But when I'm writing, it's kind of like that. I can channel into, all right, I'm thinking about this one thing. Just keep going. Like, and that's the only thing and then the music is just background noise. But if I'm doing something else where it's like I need to concentrate on one thing, then my ears kind of like black out the song a little bit. Mm-hmm. But it's still there, but it's more of like muddling the noise. So it's just background noise. Mm-hmm. So that, I don't know. It's an interesting dynamic. I mean, I guess it's like it. I don't know. I don't even know how to explain it.
Well, it's
I mean,
like it's how people would like listen to music while they study. You know, it's kind of like it kind of like puts you in this zone. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
It drowns out this. Like, it's the same reason why we watch movies, because we want to be drowned out. We're pulled out of our body. It's the only time we're actually present. You know?
I mean, I basically, if I'm not talking to people, I basically have music on all the time. Yeah. So my whole music taste has changed. And developed, you know, over time. I mean, I still enjoy all the other music that I used to listen to, but, you know, right now I'm in like a phase where it's like one certain type of music. But if I had to go listen to their music, I'd be happy to do so.
Yeah, I'm the same way.
In college, I was like just pure EDM, you know, and go to like,
really?
Yeah.
I never got into EDM ever. I don't know what it was.
Have you ever been to a festival?
Yeah, I have actually, but
that's where I really liked it. Yeah. You know,
I went to
just
Ultra
dancing,
in
having
Miami.
A good time. Oh no way!
Yeah,
That's a good one.
Never I just was like, whatever.
I went to a few. I mean, Ultra
everyone
Miami.
Did.
I heard that's a good one.
It's fine. I mean, like, maybe not for me. You know, it just wasn't my cup of tea. But yeah, just the EDM, you know, world never did anything for me.
You like that stuff? You like weed and all that stuff?
What are you, my dad? You like that stuff?
No, I'm curious.
Yeah, man. I do like. I think marijuana is it's a good supplement for you know the blues. I would say so, and it also helps with anxiety a lot with me.
It makes me more anxious. I haven't smoked weed in like a long time.
No, I mean that's cool, man. I mean I'll partake because it really does kind of like put me in a better mood sometimes, you know. And it's better than, you know, drinking some days.
Fair enough. I don't know. I like drinking.
I'd like to suggest a book to the audience. What's like one book that you can recommend?
It depends on what kind of book. Just any book?
A book that really spoke to you. You know, something that you read and that really stuck to you and that you really enjoyed reading, that you were like, you would like to recommend to someone else to read.
Well, I'm looking at all your books here on this bookshelf.
A lot of them are Rachel's.
I'm looking at all of Rachel's books on her bookshelf. And I mean, I don't really read fiction a lot, I guess, you know, but I would say that I read more of things that I can learn from.
Okay.
You know, first of all, Michael Caine.
Oh, I've heard that one. That one's been mentioned a few times.
A lot of it is about acting. I read when I was younger, but I didn't really start reading until after I graduated college and stopped playing baseball. Michael Caine's book, my favorite book, if you're an aspiring actor, would be to read. It's a very good start. Teaches you things that you like every actor should know. Is called Secrets in Screen Acting, and you should read that.
Who wrote that one?
I don't know. It's the same thing. It's the same thing with the music. I'd never know who writes them.
Secrets in Screen Acting.
The Secrets of Screen Acting.
That's pretty cool.
It's a good book. It's it lays down everything that you should know about. It's not the talent side of it. It's the technical side of it. So it's very important. So once you have those ideas down in your head, then you can let the talent take over, as long as you beat those ideas into your head, because you can have all the talent in the world and not know how to portray something to a camera, and it won't come off the same way. So I would definitely,
and that kind
for anybody
of like,
aspiring to be an actor,
kind of woke you when it came to that sort of aspect, because
did it
because you really wouldn't know what it's like until you actually do it, you know what I mean? But the book actually, it was a good tool for kind of understanding that world.
It's a good tool. It helped me realize that the project of acting is about a product and how you can make that product the best possible. You know, obviously the talent's involved, but there's just little tiny subtle techniques that you can learn that have nothing to do with talent that make your performance even better. So, you know,
I gotta check it out. That sounds amazing.
You should read it. There's things in there you may know, but there's things in there you probably won't know. And they're very, you know, I mean, like the things you would probably know is like how to cheat to camera. I mean, that's obvious, but there's things about
a lot of things you
sound,
can't,
there's things it's about funny other that, stuff that you should know.
Well, that's the thing. It's funny that you can learn a lot from that book, because a lot of the stuff about acting on film, you have to kind of learn naturally. You know what I mean?
I think that the best way to learn anything is through experience.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think that's why I mentioned earlier that I don't like classes and I don't believe in classes. I've been to tons of classes, but
sometimes you just have to use your own experiences is like
well,
your,
not even
is
my
your
own
best
experience.
Teacher.
I'm saying the best experience is to be on a set and you know working with a real director and with, you know, like someone who's pronounced and or renowned. Sorry, pronounced. Yeah. Someone who's renowned and that's the best way to do it. I mean, I've taken tons of classes and I think they're good. You know, when you start, but then when you realize that there's nothing, you know. There's nothing
you're not
that,
being pushed anymore.
They're not the ones that are teaching you. I think that the ones who really teach you are maybe a personal acting coach who can actually really take you to the next level. Not somebody who deals with 15 students in a class who's just getting paid and
who's trying to put it on their resume.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You know, an acting coach, or I think more importantly, a director who's willing to work with you, that's where I think I learned the most was working with this guy in New York City, actually, doing plays. And he takes you to the side by yourself, and he would, Jeffrey Zeiner, great guy. Hope he'll probably never hear this, but he's a great guy. And he'd take me to the side and say like, oh, this is what you should do. And I mean, they were plays, but they were also like, he was teaching us to do it for screen, because he knew that everybody in the show was trying to be in the screen, not do plays and musicals, you know. So it was, you know, it's more, I think it's more that way. People who really take an investment into your craft. I would just say that the best way to actually learn is to, obviously not everybody can, you know, meet that director that helps them out that way, but what you can do is you can create your own stuff. And when I say create your own stuff, I don't mean like go on YouTube and make some silly YouTube video like Logan Paul, that asshole.
I mean, like, create something cinematic.
Yeah, it's funny. I always hear that, too. Like, the best way to show people what you can do is just to make it your own, you know? Make your own things.
We got stuff. I'll show you some of our stuff.
Cool, man. I'd love to see
it. We're filming some more stuff next week, so.
Sweet, man. Well, yeah, keep doing that. At the end of the podcast, I always like to ask the guest kind of a fun question. What is your dream, your ultimate, your breakfast that you would make for you?
My dream breakfast?
Yes.
That was not the... I thought you were asking what my ultimate dream was. No. You said, what's my dream breakfast?
No. This is only about breakfast, man. What is your dream, your perfect breakfast?
I mean, I can go have my perfect breakfast right now. I go to IHOP.
Oh, yeah. So is it like a Moon's Over Miami type of situation? Or is it
what Denny's? Over your whatty?
You never had that? I think it's at Denny's. It's called a Moon's Over Miami or something like that.
I don't go to Denny's, man. That's just a rip-off IHOP.
So are you like a pancakes, eggs, bacon, all that type of stuff?
Pancakes?
Okay,
well,
all
the
time.
Well, the best breakfast is there. It's country fried steak with scrambled eggs and hash browns and two pancakes.
Yeah, I honestly, like, anyone who's anyone will always say, like, when it comes to breakfast, it's the pancakes, hash browns for sure. So when it comes to the meat portion, it's the steak you want, like the whole steak.
I like the country fried steak.
Because a lot of people like steak.
It's definitely bad for you, but
steak and eggs is a very popular breakfast actually in the Cuban community.
It's
like
country
where I grew
fried
up.
Steak though. Have you ever had country fried steak?
So is that breaded? What is that?
It's breaded and it has white sauce. I don't even know what's on it, what the white sauce is, but it's fucking
but it's
delicious.
Good.
It's freaking
that's
delicious.
There's a similar dish like that I used to eat a lot in Miami. It's a Cuban dish. It's breaded chicken.
It might be chicken, honestly.
Yeah, it's like
they
fried breaded chicken.
Fried steak.
It's just
I don't even know what it is. It tastes really good.
But why for why not? Why is it more of a breakfast thing for you?
It's always just been it's always served at breakfast. Anywhere I go that serves breakfast that has country fried steak, they're never serving.
So country fried steak and pancakes?
Oh my god.
That's a heart attack.
Brother, right? I'm 220 pounds. I can eat a lot, okay?
I'm sure. No, I believe the funny thing is I can eat a lot too.
Country fried steak, scrambled eggs.
Mm-hmm.
That's
how you prefer your eggs?
Pancakes.
Because there's many ways to make eggs. You prefer scrambled all the way.
Always been a scrambled guy.
Same here.
But I mean
they just taste better, right?
Listen, honestly, anything other than what I eat for breakfast, because I eat the same breakfast every morning.
Same here.
Egg whites, broccoli, and an apple.
What? Damn, dude. That's healthy as hell.
Thing.
Holy shit. What are you, men's health?
No, I'm just 220 pounds, so I need to lose some freaking weight.
This morning for breakfast, I had half a bagel, two eggs, potatoes, and turkey bacon. So I like a big breakfast. I always eat a big breakfast, but that's like basically my breakfast.
You know, some people say breakfast is the most important meal of the day.
Never heard that before, but that's cool, man.
Really?
No, I'm just kidding. So country fried steak, pancakes, obviously scrambled eggs. So you got to have the hash browns, and I know you already have a lot of carbs in there. But are you a toast guy? Do you like toast?
No.
Really? You don't like toast?
No,
like butter toast?
Not a big bread guy.
What?
Yeah, I'm not a big bread guy.
That's probably why you don't have a gut.
Yeah, maybe.
Because I feel like if you liked, you would eat a lot of bread if you liked bread.
I mean, I feel like I used to when I was younger, but I just never really buy bread. I don't know.
I eat bread at least 3 times a day.
I eat the same meals every
bagels.
I eat the same meals every day.
Baguettes, all that stuff.
I literally eat the same meals every day. I eat 2 meals a day and they're the same.
Hey, if it's good, who cares, you know?
What's your favorite? They taste crappy.
Oh, is it like a diet thing? Is it like it's like a prepped meal?
I'll get fat if I don't, unfortunately.
Oh, I can't gain weight, so I eat whatever I want.
You're lucky.
No, that's not true. I don't eat whatever I want. I eat a lot, but I make sure that it's like good. You know what I mean? Like I don't eat like junk food. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But when it comes to junk food, what is your favorite?
Listen, just because I say I eat the same meal a day doesn't mean I don't cheat every now and again, all right? Favorite junk food? Pizza.
Obviously.
Does that count as junk?
Of course, yeah. I wouldn't
say... There's a lot of protein and cheese.
I mean, like, have you ever once eaten pizza and not felt guilty?
No, I never feel guilty when I eat it. I fucking love it.
Yeah, me too. But there is something wrong about it, right?
Oh, wait, hold on. Chick-fil-A, actually.
Oh, I haven't been to Chick-fil-A in a while.
I choose Chick-fil-A over.
All right.
Close.
So, these are the last questions.
Take your time with it, pal.
This is a new question. I just thought of this recently. What's your unrealistic dream job?
How unrealistic are we talking about? We're talking about there's no chance in a million years that it would ever happen?
not so much that there's no chance it would never happen, but it's a job.
I know
that
what mine would be. Mine would be to be a quarterback for in the NFL.
Yeah.
But here's why I say basically, 100 million it's years is it not? Because first of all, I throw a good ball. I throw a really good ball and I'm pretty athletic. But would I ever get the opportunity to
That's
do
what
that?
I'm saying.
No,
yeah, yeah, yeah. What's like your unrealistic dream job? So it would be
I think I could. Maybe.
So you
no,
would want to be
think I could. I don't think I could.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
I don't think I could. I would
like,
love to though.
Like,
I would love to.
Like for example, I would be like maybe you would want to be like a paleontologist. Like you would have to go to years of school like to study dinosaurs. I'm just saying like what would be something that you would always wanted to do?
Well, it would be between an NFL quarterback or astronaut. I love space. I love sci-fi.
Yeah, that's
so,
see,
mean,
that's
like,
another. That's a perfect dream job.
I'll really never get that. I'm not good
enough. That's why it's the unrealistic dream job. Yeah. All right, we're gonna do a quick round of this or that. Ready?
Oh Jesus.
Dean Martin or Frank Sinatra?
Frank Sinatra.
Coen Brothers or Tarantino?
Tarantino.
All right. Disney or Universal Studios?
You're giving me some tough ones here, but I would go with Universal. Actually,
that's a good one. Yeah, Owen Wilson or Luke Wilson?
I like Luke better.
I like Luke Wilson better.
I like Luke
better.
I also
like Luke Wilson better.
Owen Wilson has had some bigger movies, but
he's just,
Luke is always better, I think.
Yeah, you just gotta root for him. The Office or Parks and Rec? Oh,
this is a tough one, only because unlike most other people, I've seen episodes, plenty of episodes of both, but I've never seen the full shows of both, so I'm never really invested in what's going on.
But you've seen enough to know.
Seen enough. I think I want to say Parks and Rec, but I also think that I've seen too many funny ass episodes of The Office, so I'm probably gonna have to go with The Office.
That's okay. I mean, there's no wrong answer for that one.
Fair
to
enough.
Be honest.
Fair enough.
Friends or How I Met Your Mother?
How I Met Your Mother. I never watched
cool.
Friends.
Coffee or tea?
Coffee. However, a tea at in certain times. Can really hit
a
the
good
spot.
English breakfast, man. A little bit of cream.
So when I go back home, I stay in New Jersey. I don't usually actually stay with my brother. I usually stay with an Irish family that was like neighbors with that I was neighbors with growing up, and they have this Irish tea. It's like so delicious.
I know.
And it's caffeinated.
It's great.
It's delicious.
Yeah. My next one is whiskey or beer.
Oh, whiskey. Whiskey. I don't even really drink beer.
It's all
you
I
made
have.
Me forgot I had a freaking IPA right
you
here.
You got a beer right in front
of
you.
I actually don't really like beer. The only beer I do like is IPAs, and that's because I usually only drink one of them, so it's fine to have one. But
yeah.
Whiskey, hands down, not even close.
All the time.
I drink whiskey every time I'm
drinking. I honestly, I wish I did, but Rachel drank it all last night.
Rachel, gosh darn it.
Marvel or DC?
Marvel. Not even close.
You had such a smug face when you said it.
Yeah, because it's not even called. DC movies have sucked. Well, are we talking about comics, actually?
Well,
no,
that's
now
the thing.
To
that's the thing, though, because I also read comics, and I love Marvel comics over DC comics.
Okay, so if we're talking comics, still Marvel.
Okay. You say you don't smoke, but indica or sativa?
When I used to smoke weed, it was definitely sativa.
That's probably why you got so anxious. Indica is the more chill, relaxed.
No, I know, but when I was starting to feel anxious, I tried to move on to indica to chill me out when I was smoking weed and never really did the job. So I was just like, fuck it. I don't need it anymore.
Old school or new school?
Old school.
Cool. Huh. Early riser or night owl?
It's a bit of both.
Yeah.
Bit of both.
It changes every day, doesn't it?
It's bad.
Same. Same.
It's bad.
I like to think that I wake up early, but there's some nights where I'm up to like 2, 3 a.m.
Well, there's plenty of nights that I'm up very late, and there's plenty of times where I fall asleep at 8 o'clock at night and wake up at friggin' 4:30 in the morning. So it's very difficult to say.
Yeah, it's hard, man.
My body does not have that biological.
It's funny. My body's a wonderland. Star Wars or Harry Potter?
I can see that. I'll have to go with Harry Potter.
Really?
I will say that I do like Star Wars. I was very disappointed with the final trilogy, except for the last movie was pretty good.
I liked the last one. I liked the last movie that just came out. Yeah,
was good.
It was
good.
I liked it too. I liked the whole the new trilogy.
The two before that were awful.
I liked all three of them. I think all three of them were really good.
I didn't like the first two.
Well, it's funny that you liked the last one then.
I thought the last one was good.
No one liked the last one.
I don't like movies that are too preachy. You know, and like
the last one was very preachy.
I guess I missed it.
Yeah.
I guess
I still liked it though.
I mean, like, I don't like movies that have a political agenda. I like good movies. Like, my favorite movies are...
Yeah, but Star like Wars favorite... is all about politics. It's World War
yes,
II.
Yes. I'm not going to disagree. Yeah, it's obviously about imperialist. Yeah, I get that. There's... When they make it blatantly obvious is when I don't like it. It doesn't seem clever to me. It seems like an agenda that needs to be...
That's fair.
I don't like that. I like... Well, I mean, like, the first... three, which are technically 4 through 6, was just an epic saga, you mm-hmm. know, where it's like you don't need them to blatantly say things for you to get them. Like, you either get them or you don't,
mm-hmm.
and either way, it's still a good film.
Yeah.
So I.
But
I
Harry Potter is the winner.
Yeah, Harry Potter's the winner. Yeah, Harry Potter. I love Harry Potter.
I just thought of a new one: sci-fi or spaghetti western.
Sci-fi, hands down.
All right, cool.
Not even close. Yeah.
There you go.
All
right, well, that is the end of the show. Boy, oh boy, this went on for a while, but I enjoyed every minute of it.
I had a good time.
I like to ask the guests if they want to promote themselves, like on social media or anything, if you want.
Sure. If you guys want to follow me, you can find me on Instagram, at John Young Actor, J-O-N, not J-O-H-N. John Young Actor.
Now you know.
All right, follow me, and sometimes I take good pictures, sometimes I look like shit, whatever.
That's the power of social media.
Yeah.
All right, guys, well, thank you for listening to the show. Please remember to subscribe, leave a rating, a review if you so kindly want to. Tell your friends, tell your family, tell Nana, please spread the word. Let's get this out there. Any questions about the show, you can DM me on my Instagram. I don't know if anyone is even listening, but hey, why not? Thank you to Gilbert Louis Ray for the theme. And that is it. I like to end every episode with asking, I like to end every episode with starting a sentence and having the guests end it. Is that cool with you?
Fuck it. Why cool. did I go to Groundlings? I better be able to end this.
So I usually say, thank you so much for listening to another episode of Conversations from a Room. Have a good night, and...
And have a good night.
Oh, wow.
No, hold on. I'm better than that.
Should I do it again?
No, like, keep it rolling. Like, this all better be in there. Have a good night, and don't let the bugs bite.
Wow, you can't even say it right.
God
right?
damn it.
One more. All right. Third time's a charm.
All right. Have a good night.
And
that's it. See you later.
He literally just got up and walked away.
How about a tube that shoots coffee into your throat at the time you're supposed to wake up?
What's that called?
Coffee splurge? I don't know.
Funnel about... okay, so you said it's a tube, right?
That was the first one I spitball. I'm still liking your first two a lot better.
No, that was good. I like that it shoots right in your mouth. From when
as soon as your alarm goes off, beep beep.
But it's not wah, even no. But it's not even there's no alarm. Like, it just, that's the alarm. It just shoots right. Java, good morning.
Java, good morning.
And it's a Jamaican company.
Why don't Java have Java, good morning? Oh my God.